Hi, everyone. This is Rita Moore and my special guest, Becky Hughes. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on BBS Radio, station number one. Hello, Becky.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing just great. I think we have a caller on the line, so we're going to get right to it. Welcome in.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Who is this?
Hi, this is Trish.
Hello, Trish. How can we help you this evening?
Well, I've had a really tough past 2 months, and I was wondering if you saw it changing or improving, particularly around relationships.
Okay, we certainly can address that. And the thing is, Trish, I feel like we're going to be actually talking about this on the show tonight, but... well, Becky, I feel like you're picking something up. Go ahead, and then I'll give you my impressions of what I'm getting.
Well, I definitely feel like it's funny that the thing that we're going to do is, I feel like she's definitely doing, in a sense, like going through the awakening moments, and I feel like that's the tough times that she's having right now. And I feel like it's kind of like new realizations that she's kind of discovering around when it comes to relationships. What is the person's name that you're in a relationship with? Do you want to address that or no?
Well, I just ended a relationship. Yes, I'm
Hello?
Here.
Yeah, what is the individual's name, if you don't mind hearing that?
So there's a relationship with Luis and a friendship with Carol.
Okay. Let's address Luis, correct?
Okay.
All right. The first thing I'm getting is that this individual is distancing himself away emotionally, is what I'm getting. And what is happening here is not isolated. This is happening a lot lately. Partnerships seem to be dissolving in regards to what they had going, so to speak. And what I see is change in a lot of relationships, yours included. It's like, you know, when you have two fighters in the ring and then you go to your respective corners, it's all... In a sense, that's one way to look at it, and another way is retreat. I'm feeling there's retreat on both ends because at some level in this relationship, things weren't exactly working the way they should be working. And so it's like refining, defining, looking at what actually both of you really are looking for in a relationship. And so that is where I feel the emotional detachment. It's not as intense as it once was, so there's a rethinking going on here with you and this person. I also feel, too, that probably over the summer months, this is going to last, this kind of changing views or looking at the relationship differently is going to last probably through August, maybe somewhere in August there's going to be a reconnection made. And then I see communication and then reevaluating where you both are in your lives respectively. Now, as far as Carol is concerned, I'm getting mixed messages from Carol, okay? When I get into that individual's energy, it's almost like Carol is going through her own issues, and it's like she doesn't know how to articulate her deepest, darkest feelings. And she doesn't, you know, even though maybe you're best friends, whatever the relationship is, it's like she's withdrawn herself and is just almost irritable, okay? There's some kind of discontent going on with her. Is there any kind of business relationship with this woman?
Yes.
Okay. I can tell you right now what she's going through is almost like a personal dissatisfaction. You know, when you reach a certain level in life or a certain age, you go through a rite of passage to where you say, I should be here, or I should have this, or I should have that, and you don't feel as if you met certain goals, and sometimes you want to forget about all of it and just do a 180-degree turn in a different direction. Carol is going through what is termed as the dark journey of the soul, and she's really trying to come to terms with her life path at this point. And I feel as if it's like everything has descended upon her energetically, and she don't know how to handle it. And she may come off as short and curt and abrupt and mean, those kind of things. And then sometimes it feels like she's just off in another world. Like she's not hearing you, not caring, not anything. And this is what I feel coming from her. Becky, are you picking anything up from both Luis and Carol?
No, I'm going to have to agree completely on what you're saying, because that's what I'm picking up too. It feels like at both ends, they're both kind of like distancing and kind of like reevaluating where they stand, just overall. And I would definitely say the female, she feels to me like she is just, it's like really kind of having more of like a hard time and kind of like, in a sense, blocking others off into what's really going on around her.
Mm-hmm. Is she in her 40s?
50 this year.
50 this year. So she's just coming in. Yeah. I know when I hit 50, it was a life-changing event. It's like you really start reprioritizing things, and that includes people. And so she's going through a lot of changes. And you may not see an outward change per se, like a physical change, but I guarantee you these are all internal. And it's almost like she feels as if this is her fight. But I do see an apology. Are you expecting that from her or want that?
Yes.
Okay. I do see that forthcoming. She's in the process of thinking things through, and she's going to realize that what she either said, did, or didn't do, there was no excuse for it is how I'm processing the information. And that you will get within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And then do you think we'll become friends again?
You never really lost a friendship. You're just kind of, how would you say, you need to separate the who from the do. In other words, you love your friend, you just don't like her behavior.
Exactly.
And once you start getting towards the friend and the person as opposed to the behavior or the words, I think that'll give you a little bit more clarity and insight to the point where not everybody is going to act the same way over extended periods of time. We all go through change. This is part of her change. Unfortunately, sometimes the people that are closest to us feel that, you know, toxic nuclear fallout is what I call it. But you will definitely be friends again. As a matter of fact, I feel you'll be closer than ever. But
right.
This is kind of like a rough patch right now. Just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because she really needs you, and you care about each other, you know.
Right.
So thank you, Trish, for calling, and I hope this helps you and answers your questions. Bye-bye now.
I look forward to the rest of the show.
Well, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Becky, I have noticed, and I know you have too, the last couple of weeks have been real bugaboos for relationships.
Yes.
It seems that every kind of relationship has been going through, I don't know if you want to call it the awakening process or the awareness process, but it's like people are really beginning to evolve in such a way that they're questioning their priorities and what they need. And it's not like a selfish reevaluation. It's almost like you said earlier when we were talking today about a rebirthing, you know. And what I wanted to know is when you deal with your clients, what have there been any like symptoms or things that, you know, we should be aware of when these changes are happening, and what have you noticed in your clients?
Well, I've noticed, like, people who are getting very depressed at first, and it's like they don't know why. It's like they're just automatically in this funk, and it's like they start kind of realizing certain things about themselves to where they're kind of being a little harsh on themselves, and it's like beating themselves up. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute here, and things start to, I guess, make sense of why they've happened the way they have. You said it great when you said that they're looking at different ways of, you know, putting things in priority of what they're wanting. It's like they're switching things around, like other things are making more sense now of what importance is in their relationships with others. But I have noticed that a lot of people are standing back, and it's like they're just kind of like that soul searching. It's almost like that, like it's steps of going up levels and steps that they keep hitting. And it's like once they think they're finally coming out of it, they smack the other step, and they have another realization coming up, and it's like happening really fast.
What used to take like forever,
yes,
like processing, it's like it's accelerated. And not only that, but I think once they get past this hump of depression, what I'm finding is that they're starting to recognize the soul awareness of the other person. Hi, this is Rita. Welcome in. Who do we have on the line tonight?
Hi, this is Lisa from Tucson.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa from Tucson. Welcome in. How can we help you?
Well, I wonder if you pick up the energy around me and my boyfriend. And
does he travel for any reason?
Yeah, in fact, he's right now he's away.
Mm-hmm. Because I do feel like this, in the beginning it was not a bone of contention, but I feel like this is kind of making you very uncomfortable. And the reason why I'm saying that is not so much, I don't know if it's really a trust issue at stake here. What I'm really getting from this, Lisa, is the fact that you want to be in his presence more, if that makes sense. More of a stable, stability kind of feeling. It's like you require, it's almost like your soul requires his energy there. For whatever you need to do or express or whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to imply that this is a codependency, far from it, because you're very much your own person, very much an independent woman. But by the same token, there's also a sense here that that energy has kind of shifted a little bit. And it's also a questioning of, why am I feeling this way? Why do I actually want him around?
I know. Do you pick up that he's got other ladies he's involved with?
What is his name?
Bob,
okay. Let me see what I'm picking up. Becky, I want to go into this a little bit. Tell me what you're picking up on, Bob.
I see
women around him, but I'm not so sure there's an involvement there.
I'm going to tell you no, I don't feel any involvement. Like, I feel like there's women around, and I feel like there's women that will talk to him and stuff, but I don't feel him as, like, being cheating or anything like that. I don't feel anything like that. And, you know, we all like to have, like, I guess, communication with other people of the opposite sex, you know, but I don't feel anything wrong with what he's doing at all.
I don't either.
I'm going to say no. But I will say this much. I do feel like they're both kind of questioning where they're at in this relationship. And I do agree that she is, I feel like you're kind of like, it is. It's like you're kind of like, do I really want this? Why do I want to have this? Like, is it always going to be like this? Am I not getting what I need here? Am I not fulfilled with this situation? It's like you're wanting more than what you have, and it's kind of like, why am I in this situation?
And you know what else, Lisa? You have a guarded heart. I hate to say this, but you do. It's like you're guarding your heart against heartbreak. And for the first time, maybe in a long time, you're beginning to want to expand that which is, you know, that which is in your heart. It's like there's this love there, and it's like it wants to find expression. But it's, you know, here's the thing about that. When you are in love or love someone and you want to get that out, you need to get it out. The thing about it is this. Sometimes we take this relationship, in this case it's Bob, and what we look at, think of Bob as a cup, okay? And think of yourself as pouring water. You're water, he's the cup. Now, eventually, if you pour too much of that into that cup, it's going to overflow, and it's going to spill on the floor, you know. In other words, I don't think love is wasted, but what I'm hearing as far as guidance is concerned is spread the love around. And I don't mean to say you have to find other relationships. I mean just everyday life. If you go to the grocery store and you see the checker at the stand with a frown on his or her face, just smile. That's a form of love. So your part, you know, there are things that are really opening up to you, you know, from within. I can just feel it blossoming. And it's like, well, now what do I do with this? And I'm not so sure you're aware of it, but that's what's coming. So, yes, give Bob his due, but you also have to give yourself room to expand in this way. And the guarded heart, well, you know, you don't have to push it. You don't have to do anything except be aware of it. And when you're ready to make this next step of energy exchange or just twisting the energy around a little bit, and you feel comfortable with that, that's when you do it. There's no right or wrong here. Does this make sense to you?
Well, it does. And he and I have been together for about 6 years, and I think he has cheated, you know, in the past. I just didn't know if he was doing
that
now.
3 or 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago he cheated on you. But Bob, at the heart of Bob, he's actually like what I would say somewhat of a humanitarian, where he's got the energy. He likes to, I don't know, be around people, help people, but yet there's a loner aspect to him. He needs his quiet time. But I do not feel that he's actually at the current time cheating on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not getting that.
So you think there might be a chance for us? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, your relationship is going through a growing spurt. It's you know, it's hit what I call an impasse at this point. And any relationship, when it hits that impasse, it's either, you know, time to grow and for yourself and look at him in a different light, see what serves you in this relationship, and if there are things you can change it. If they're not, then you know, kind of rethink them, because I do think there's a chance, but I feel like it's like, how would you say, I don't want you to feel like you're at the mercy of Bob, at the emotional mercy of Bob is what I'm talking about.
That's what's happening. I'm trying to get on my feet financially, and he's supporting me right now. Do you see my money coming in? I would like to be more independent.
Oh, absolutely, because you desire it, and there's that strong desire, it'll come. And I want you to, do you write at all? Do you do any kind of writing or drawing? Because
I do a lot of writing.
Yeah, because there's a very big artistic bent to you, and it has to find expression, or you're going to, like, go boop, you know, explode mentally. So, I feel like you're coming into your own. You're starting to enter that phase. And what is happening, you're going to find expression for that which is in you. And I know, you know, you're looking at it from the aspect of finances, which is wonderful. We all need to be mindful of the practical daily everyday life. But we also have to include in that, like, for instance, if you have to get a job to get a job to help support yourself, that's great. But at the same time, I would recommend doing something that you truly enjoy, even if it's just doing it for yourself, because the idea behind it is to find expression for it. And all of a sudden, as you do that, things start balancing out more, and it's almost as if another path opens up for you, and you start, you know, naturally walking down that road. Because the more angst and worry you give to this energy or this thought and situation, the more it's going to magnify. The way I bypass it is I already try to, you know, we have an imagination, use it. Project yourself into the future. It doesn't matter when. It's just a little bit into the future. And, you know, see yourself, wear it. In other words, how does it feel to be independent? How does this feel? See, your mind is independent. Your heart is independent. Your future physical manifestation hasn't caught up with that which is within you. It's sort of like when you have an overweight person and they look in the mirror and get very disgusted because what is inside is not being reflected on the outside. But it takes time, it takes effort, but sooner or later they can start that process, and this is certainly well within your control. So I hope this helps you and answers some of your questions.
Thank you. So you don't see him cutting off the money then? He's going to continue?
Yeah, definitely.
Continue that money. But I don't know, like, I feel like you have a chance to be with him in that long-term sense, but I kind of feel somebody else when she gets on her feet coming in the picture for her.
Okay, I don't see that at this time. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Yeah, but I think before someone else comes in the picture, maybe, you know, Lisa needs to be in the picture.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. True,
yeah.
True. But I do. I feel like she's going to get it together, and I don't feel him cutting anything off by any means.
No, not at all.
Oh, thank God. I've been so worried. I'm working hard on trying to bring my own income in, and I just didn't, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know if it's going to be 3-4 months yet before I get my own income, and that'll make
in July,
a lot of difference.
I feel July's got a lot of energy around it for you, so I think that month is going to be a little bit more, I feel like the momentum will pick up the pace. It's sort of like, think about it this way. When you think of a job or a source of income, it's like when you go to your closet in the morning and you know, you're going to get dressed and you're going to choose what you're going to wear, your red blouse, whatever. Think of a job as an article of clothing and try it on and see how it feels. And if it feels okay to you, then it's like at least you know you're in the right direction.
You know,
that helps.
It does, and he keeps a daily journal, and I saw on this daily journal the initials NW, and it, at 4:50 or 5, you know, in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought maybe there was a woman coming over every morning to be with him.
I'm not getting that. Does he have any kind of house service or anything like that?
Well, it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, and this person, I see it on his daily journal, you know, these initials, like once a week. And his bed, he changed the sheets on his bed and to a different color. I just, signs of stuff, and I just didn't know, you know, if he was starting something new with someone.
Yeah, what are you getting from that, Becky?
See, I'm not quite sure with that. You said, okay, so the initials NW.
Yeah.
That sounds awfully suspicious to me, though, but I'm not picking anything up. I'm not picking anything up like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not picking up a cheating thing.
I'm not either.
The kind of energy I'm picking up is like, you know how someone comes in and performs like a cleaning service once a week or a maid service or, you know, something like that. It's got that feel to it to me. It's a service, but I don't feel it's a sexual service.
But at 4 in the morning, that's the thing that gets me.
Yeah, he's just doing weird things like he did when he was cheating. That time frame that you said is accurate. It was about that length of time ago, and it just makes me real jumpy. And women love him, and he loves women, and I'm dependent on the income right now. And, of course, I'm also heartbroken because I'd like to see the success of this, but right now I'm just trying to pour my heart and soul into making my own income and get some distance from this because it's just tearing me up.
Well, yeah, and I understand why it would. I really do. It's not that, you know, we're oblivious to this, but the fact of the matter is that this guy is very much his own person, and because you've been in a relationship for 6 years, and I do see you hitting the seventh year with him, I almost get a sense that even though you see the signs, so to speak, I'm not so sure that is it. You know what I mean? And it could very well be that he's just hiding it so well that we can't even break through, but that's usually pretty rare. I would say right now the attention needs to be reflected on you. it's not, because I feel like July is going to be a more of a banner month for you, more coming into your own. And I feel once that you get that confidence back, that that's going to change the energy all, you know, all the way around. It's just going to change
great.
It. Yeah.
Well, I'll just keep praying.
There you go. Exactly. Not a time to make a master move because you're not in, A, the right place in your head, in your heart, or in, you know, in a position to. So don't add that stress to yourself.
Okay.
Not necessary. Thank you.
So I'm glad that you're not seeing any other women that mean, you know, that he's romantically interested in.
No, he loves himself too much.
It's true.
He's his own mistress.
It's true.
We know.
Well, you hit that one right on the nail.
I mean, I get around women that haven't been involved with anyone, and they're just so happy, and I'm like, oh, my God, I wish I could be in that space. I know we make our own reality.
It's like every time you have a rocky relationship, all of a sudden everybody becomes a couple. And it's like, what is this? How disgusting is that? So your turn is coming, my dear, and in spades. So don't ever give up. Don't, you know, doubt yourself, because you are really, truly at a point of awakening here in more ways than you think. Just be nice to yourself right now. And don't let outside influences hurt you one way or the other. And I'm going to tell you why. 3 or 4 years ago when he cheated on you, you're still standing, you're still breathing. And just say for argument's sake, we're totally 100% wrong on this, which I don't think we are. But even if we were, you're going to still stand and you're going to still breathe. You know, and you're still going to live your life, because, you know, sometimes that broken heart, when we go through that, it kind of changes us, and usually for the better, because it helps us to define and refine what we'll accept in our lives and what we don't. And you see, I don't think Bob is growing a whole lot. He needs to be. He's having an opportunity to do that, and you are in that process, and so sometimes, you know, we have to split apart, at least emotionally, for a little while in order to come back together at a better level or a better expression of the former relationship. So to me, it's all good. It's just keep looking in yourself and find the strength and what makes you who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that when you learn to love yourself more than you love him, you'll be on the right track.
Oh, I'm praying for that. I am just praying for that right now.
You will. You will. And it's not a selfish thing. It's a necessary thing. Yeah, absolutely. Because then you can love him more objectively, you know, without, like, how would you say, falling to pieces and hanging on to the furniture, asking for mercy for God to kill you because you can't take the heartache anymore.
You speak the language. You do speak the language.
Thank you. I wonder why.
I know why.
The language. Yeah, there you go. Now who's a psychic?
But so
God
wonderful.
Bless you, honey. You take care of yourself. Number one,
Thank you.
That first.
Thank you. You're such a blessing, both of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, hon. Yeah, you know, it's relationships, and more relationships. And the thing about it is, it's like I told Lisa, this is not, you know, we got to understand one thing. Life is constantly changing. Relationships do not stay static. Because if they did, boring. And, you know, frankly, I'm not one. I used to be one for high drama and chaos in my life. But now, at, you know, pushing, what, 58, I forget, I'm so timeless. I'm a child of the universe. But because of that, I find that it's like, you know, yes, people can break your heart and all the rest of it, but you can't live in a bubble. You can't guard it to the extent where you're afraid to make a move. And the fact of the matter is, no matter what, you still have yourself. And really, when you really figure that out, you're going to be so surprised at what your strengths truly are. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to go through all these mental gymnastics and spiritual gymnastics to attract the kind of person that resonates with you on a lot of levels. It just means that we give ourselves these tests because somewhere within us, there's something that's saying, you know, this is close to what I want, but not quite. And so let me shake things up and, you know, see where the pieces fall, and then we'll go from there. And a lot of soul-searching involved, a lot of soul-searching.
I'm telling you, it feels like that's what everybody seems to be going through, and it's like people just, I feel like a couple weeks ago people were wanting to bang their heads up against the wall, and now it's like everybody's starting to, like, come out of it, but you're right, it's a constant change, and relationships just overall, and especially with yourself, is a constant change. You're constantly learning, you're constantly growing, you're just advancing, you know, in so many different ways, and you know, people are. They're hitting those levels really fast
right
now.
And, you know, it's like you may feel lonely, but you're really not alone, collectively speaking, because I have found that when, you know, certain things happen, it's, you know, for the most part, it can be very devastating. I mean, you know, you hook up with somebody, your energies are intertwined with that person. You know, there's just no getting away from it. And the fact of the matter is that because your energies are entwined, you, believe it or not, it's you have a psychic connection with that person that I don't care if you don't see them for the next 10 years, you may still be psychically connected.
Exactly.
And you may think you're over it, and then all of a sudden you may have dreams about the individual, or you start thinking very strongly about this person, and you're like, I wonder why. Is it because they're thinking about me? Well, 9 out of 10 times they are. And then all of a sudden, this whole ball of wax starts rolling all over again. And you think to yourself, you know, here I thought I was over this person, and the fact of the matter is, I'm not. And you almost get disgusted with yourself because you feel as if you spent all this time fooling yourself. Well, no, you haven't fooled yourself. You have coped. You have given yourself, how would you say, certain support systems, telling yourself certain things to get over heartache and to get over grief. And now that you've gone, now maybe, you know, it crops up again a while later and you're thinking, oh my God, you know, I still have feelings. Well, maybe you do. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're at ground zero again. It just means that now you're able, if it's filtered up to your consciousness level, you're able to look at it a little bit more objectively than you could have maybe prior to this. So in other words, if I'm in a situation where I'm completely just, you know, devastated, my initial reactions are going to be, you know, there's a list of initial reactions. Sort of like, you know, you ever get really angry and you want to tell the person off, but you sit down and write a letter?
Yes.
And you don't mail the letter, you just write out, get it out of your system. And then you may go back to that letter in about 2 or 3 days, and you look and think, what was I thinking?
or, well, am I glad I didn't send that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, in a sense, the universe provides us, and I call them opportunities, to relook sometimes or rethink a relationship. The fact of the matter is, you may always love this person. This person always may love you. But that doesn't necessarily mean, A, that you're meant to be together for the rest of your natural days, or B, that you're meant to be apart. It just means that for right now, in this time, don't project your future, you know, to the end of your life. Right now, this is about change. Embrace it, look at it, accept it, and then, objectively, you can move on from it. And when I say move on, it's more or less like getting to the point of functioning in a more normal manner. Because sometimes long-standing relationships, when they end, can literally cripple a person. I mean, mentally, physically, they get ill, they get heart sick, they can't function, they go into this deep state of depression. And so it's time to kind of, you know, just to pull yourself out of it, and that is a mental discipline. And so some of the ways that I think what is going on at least, is recognize what is happening. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, these particular things that you're going through are all related to this, but they're kind of guidelines. You know, if you're in a relationship and you find that it's stagnated or it's not moving or you seem to be emotionally distancing, well, let's say you're in a relationship and even though things look fine in the pit of your stomach or wherever you're getting the psychic sensations, something's telling you it's not right. It could mean that, yeah, things aren't right, but it could also be a certain discontent within yourself. It usually means that change is coming. Now, the change sometimes can mean a breakup. It could mean a separation. It could mean a lot of things. But at the heart of it, it means growth. It really does. And they don't call them growing pains for nothing.
Exactly.
And sometimes you got to split apart in order to grow, because if you are together, the growth will not occur. After that growth spurt, so to speak, happens, it's like they'll be back. Usually 99% they'll be back unless you decide they won't be, but they will be. And a lot of people say, well, is he or she going to call? Don't look at it that way. I want you now to start practicing what you're going to tell the person when they call. Not if they're going to call, but when they call. It's like,
yeah,
put that out there, you know? And so I think that'll help a lot, you know. A lot of people are at turning points in relationships, and it's not going to be a forever thing. This is going to be something that is going to accelerate very quickly. You're finding your own personal expression in this world, and it's about time, and I'll tell you why. If you go to a cemetery and you look at that graveyard and you think, how many Mozarts are laying under that ground that could have, would have, should have been? How much talent, how much of that is buried that never has been expressed, not only for themselves, but for others, you know? And maybe not all people are meant to be, quote-unquote, in service to others, but let's face it, we are all on this planet. We're in this together. And so because we are, it's like sometimes lost children. We're searching, we're seeking, we're finding. And, you know, we rely on our own personal, whether it be spiritual or religious belief systems, but sometimes it doesn't work as well as we would like. So we have each other. We do have each other. And if you're the type of person that needs a support system, go out there and get one for yourself. And if you're not, if you're more of an isolationist, then do that for a while. Do whatever serves you at this point, because this is not a forever thing. This too shall pass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and another thing too is when you go around that same mountain, have you ever stopped to think to yourself, like, there's got to be more to life than this misery? I mean, really.
Exactly, yes.
Like some of your clients, Becky, I'm going to give you an example. I mean, aside from the usual stuff, you know what I find really fascinating, and I don't mean to be a male basher tonight, but I got to say the truth. One of the things that I find very interesting about, like, generational things is that men do not have the same kind of courtesy towards women as they seem to have had years ago. In other words, like, they don't call when they say they're going to call.
Yeah,
it's like they leave women like dangling participles and do not have common courtesy to just say, look, you know, thank you for the date or whatever. It's like they go on a date and they never hear from them. What is up with this? Where are your manners, guys? Come on.
I don't understand it. And it's not like all of them. I mean, because I've run across them that do. But there are a lot of them that I'm just amazed. It's like there are a lot of different things. It's like that courtesy is just not there. And then you have, like, the women who are jumping at any sort of a sign, anything from these men to, like, you know, have some sort of response to them, you know? And it's like that's where the problem I feel is starting to come in, too. It's like they're jumping for it at anything they can get, and the guys just aren't doing it.
Yeah. And ladies, even gentlemen, you know, this, you don't have to take this. You don't have to take the disrespect. And you do not, I mean, this is just common courtesy from one human being to another. Not even male, female. It's just have common courtesy with each other. If you're not interested in the person, why would you keep that? Is it serving your ego? Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What good is that going to do in the long run? Nothing. It's hurting both people. You know, let them move on. Let them find the kind of love that they need to have in their lives, as opposed to, you know, going off into the sunset, and if I return, you will feel very blessed to have me back. Not.
Right. That was before my awakening.
Of course, at 32, I may have had a different attitude, but at 57, it's like, get a grip. I have dethroned you from your God status, and now you're just another guy, okay?
Right.
I apologize to my, I have to apologize to the male members of my family. And all the male members of the universe that are sweet and kind and considerate. Absolutely.
Yes.
Hooray for you guys. And hooray for the women that, you know, are just themselves and loving and caring. That do not ever, ever mistake kindness and loving and caring for weakness or weak strength of character.
Exactly.
Not so. So anyway, as I was saying, when we go through this, we're going to begin to start recognizing the reasons behind what we are going through. It's like that soul connection.
I call it the
ER relationship, the epiphany relationship. Because a lot of times when we get in certain relationships, they are really a wake-up call. They push every hot, wrong button on us. They wake up all these little fears and bugaboos in our lives. And what if does usually happen? Well, if he ever cheated on me, I just would throw myself off the roof kind of, well, that's a little extreme, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
But then what happens, he does cheat on you and you find, oh, wait a minute, I'm still here. Okay, that's a start. You know, it's a start. And so because we get so deeply entrenched in the everyday stuff like the emotions, because I think sometimes we're afraid to back off a little bit if we didn't have that kind of intense emotional experience. Sometimes we might be afraid to be alone with ourselves. We might find that there's a kind of like a deadness about us. Have you ever felt that way, Becky?
Feeling like I have a deadness?
Like if you were in a relationship that really, you know, pushed all 10, you know, how would you say, pistons or whatever they are, it just pushed all your buttons and you were really alive, and then you kind of, you know, get to the point to where if you didn't have the kind of relationship that was exciting and all this and that, and then all of a sudden, you know, it goes south on you, it's like, do you get afraid that if you just had to spend time with yourself that there would be like this flat line, like this deadness?
I used to feel like that, and then it's like I kind of enjoy my time, you know?
Yeah.
I used to feel like that, and I used to feel like, oh, my goodness, if I don't have somebody, you know, the whole world's going to end because, you know, I need somebody to kind of distract me in a sense, and, you know, I need somebody to lean on. But, you know, here in the last couple of years, I've just kind of, you know, I haven't exactly felt in that I have to have somebody in that sense. It's like I look at things differently now to where I'm more, I guess, looking inside of myself instead of like, what could I have done? What did I do wrong with that person? What could I have done better with myself? And how can I improve that? So,
absolutely. Hi, this is Rita and Becky. Welcome in.
Yeah, hi, Rita. Hi, Becky. This is Kim
hi.
From Louisiana.
Hi,
what's
Kim.
Your first name, honey?
Kim.
Kim. Hi, Kim.
Yeah.
How are you this evening?
Yeah, hanging in. Thanks. Okay,
how
so I don't really
you?
Have a relationship question so much as I have a legal question.
Okay.
It is actually about a relationship, but it's my ex molested my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the beginning of a criminal and a civil lawsuit against him. And he was just arrested. I found out about 10 weeks ago, but he was just recently arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could give me any messages from the other side or any kind of intuitive hits you're getting.
About the situation. I mean, what do you... What
yeah, it's about the situation.
Okay. Let me zero in on that. Actually, believe it or not, this is a good thing that happened. It's going to give him a taste okay, of what could be. I mean, this is his reality, actually, that's true. But I also feel that this is a necessary step in his, what I call, life experience at this point, because I just get a sense with this guy that he...
You mean for like, my ex-husband?
Yeah, it's like his way or the highway, very, I don't know. But this is a good thing for him. And as far as you're concerned, one question I do have, well, because of the incarceration, is this going to stop the proceedings or can you continue to proceed?
Yes. I mean, actually, I do not know if he's currently incarcerated or if he made bail or not.
I believe he did. I believe he's out, actually. I'm getting him. Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought, too.
But
I'm hoping that he's going to eventually tell the truth or be found guilty in a court of law, instead of me being a psycho bitch who made it all up.
No. But be careful, because I feel like, the reason why I'm saying be careful, because for some reason, Becky, I don't know where I'm getting this, maybe you can help me with this, but I almost get a sense that he wants to see you. It's like he wants to see you. And I have a very unsettled feeling about that for some reason. And I feel it's going to be in the night, during the night. and look for that over the next month, Kim, because I just get a very uneasy feeling with him. But the truth is going to come out anyway, regardless. And so I feel like, things are going to make a turn for the better for you, but you have to have an extraordinary amount of strength in this situation, because there's part of you that's still very torn in regards to this. You don't want to hurt the guy in a sense. You just want justice. You want justice
that's
for
right.
your son.
And,
but
right.
you don't want him to, how would you say, suffer, but you want him not to hurt anyone else. It's that kind
right.
of feel. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely on the right path. Have you been going to church and doing a lot of praying about this or some kind of...
Oh, yeah, I've been doing a lot of work.
A lot of spiritual work?
A lot of
work?
Energy work.
Oh, okay.
Spiritual
I'm
work.
I'm feeling that from you. And also, are you thinking about a new job or something?
Well, there's somebody close to me that might be thinking about a new job, but yeah, I might be contemplating it.
The reason why I'm asking, I see, not to get off the subject, but when I get things, I got to speak them, or they just go.
Yeah.
What I'm sensing with this is there's going to come a time when you're going to be thinking about relocating, maybe not out of state, but within the state, but like a relocation, almost. Let's say if you lived in southern Louisiana, you'd be headed north. It's almost like a sense of changing it a little bit. Not out of reach, but out of sight, in a sense, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a consideration of relocating. And I feel that actually it may be before the school year or something like that. It's going to be in the works over this summer, at least the thought of it. I'm not so sure that it's going to manifest at this point. It is in the realm of thought. The energy is not real strong, but I do see you contemplating a little bit more on it. Justice will definitely be served. I feel like there's still going to be arguments. Almost to the point where I'm not so sure if this guy doesn't want to come back, okay? But only you can make that determination because, I believe wholeheartedly that you believe in what happened here. And it's like, even though you may
I believe he's a true pedophile. And I believe that, we were divorced in December and it's done and over. And of course, part of me is always going to love him because he's the father of my son.
Right.
But he has to tell the truth and he has to take the legal consequences of what he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to deny it. I mean, you know that. How old is your son?
9 and a half.
So he knows. He knows what happened to him, correct?
Yes.
And I don't feel, You know, here's the funny part. I'm not so sure that they're going to act, like if this goes to trial, I'm not so sure they're going to bring your son into the proceedings. They may take some kind of deposition away from the court, like, you know, not
yeah, they
away
have
from
a program
a trial.
Here. They have
yes.
a program here where they videotape the children.
Okay, that's what I feel is going to happen. Has that already happened?
He was, but he denied it then at that time. So he's
okay.
been taped. He has been taped on an audio tape, and he then told the truth. But then he's going to have to be re-videotaped again.
Yeah.
And
you know, see, the thing is, with now if he was a little bit younger, I could understand where sometimes a leading question could make a child rethink something. They had a study on that years ago to where they had these children in a room, and the psychologist, you know, at the end of the day, they were all molested. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like there's that suggestive, you know, inference there. However, I think that your son understands what is going on, and I also feel that he doesn't want to get his daddy in trouble. That's
mm-hmm.
the issue, because he does love his father, but he's like, he's going through, how would you say, that guilt syndrome. Like,
yeah.
it's his fault if this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to negate that. And so that's where the, you know, the issue comes in. But eventually the truth is going to come out, because for one thing, anything like this, he needs to, you know, get it off his chest. Otherwise,
right.
you know, you don't want a child that, you know, to carry that for the rest of their natural lives. It just
right.
spills over into the other parts of their lives. So I do believe, although it's like pulling teeth, definitely a new chapter is going to start. And it's okay. You know, the main thing is to get your son the help he needs, if any. But
yeah.
as far as your ex is concerned, I still think that he's going to try to worm his way back in. But, you know, like I said, that's a personal choice. I don't know.
Oh,
if
yeah, you don't have to worry about that. I mean,
yeah.
you know, if anything, if he shows up, I will be very, very, you know, I will be concerned about my own personal safety as well as the personal safety of my
That's why
son.
I feel, yeah, be careful yeah. with that. Becky,
does
what
he
are you
ever get,
picking
like,
up?
Does he get physically violent? Does he get physically violent? Go ahead.
Yeah, he's threatened before.
Okay, because
yeah,
I'm with Rita on this one. I would not see this man at night. I wouldn't see him alone, because what I'm feeling, and Rita, please correct me if you're picking up anything different, but I feel like there could be a confrontation that actually turns physical.
There could be a confrontation that could turn deadly. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
going to pull no punches, because I'm seeing either a gun or a knife involved. And it's going to be in the back, honey. Well, your back is turned. Now, that could be metaphor, or that could be the actual thing. But it's like, it's almost as if he follows you. I'm not, you know, I've got getting like a real, let me call her up and see if we could talk about this. I don't feel that. I feel like he follows you, and it's going to be at night. And I never believe in the power of, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy. And that is just not my thing, but when I get information, I consider myself a source of information, and if I don't tell it, then there's something wrong with me, and this is how I'm seeing it. And do you have a long driveway by any chance?
It's not super long, but it's kind of long, yeah.
Maybe about 20 or 30 feet?
Longer than that.
Okay. Yeah, I see him, it's at night, lights off. Creeping up the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
He's not driving with his headlights on, by the way. Because you live in a fairly wooded area, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surrounding, anyway.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah, guys,
I just
hey,
get a
thank
creepy.
You so much, because that is a really blessing, because I'll tell you, I was out in the hot tub the other night, like at 12:30, and I actually had
mm-hmm.
kind of a vision of somebody coming up behind me and shooting me in the back.
Yeah.
And
okay.
The
Trust
fact that both of you read that off me, is really, it makes me want to stay out of the hot tub for a while.
I would definitely,
yeah.
well, you know, look, let me put it to you this way. Until, that's why I feel a relocation is going to come up eventually, because I feel
yeah.
this guy, when it really gets intense, he's going to, like, stalk you and try to hush you up. I mean, I just can't help but have that feeling. because this guy does have a temper, but his mind works in such a way that it's like, I don't know how else to explain it, except like, it's almost as if there's this narcissistic type of, it's all about me, and I'm the man kind of thing, but in a negative way, and you're in the way. You're gonna, you know, what you're saying is gonna ruin his reputation, it's gonna ruin his life, and in his mind, he's just not gonna have that. That's just not gonna happen. And so I think if he really gets pushed up against the wall, he may do something really stupid, but, you know, I would just literally watch my back, because it's like the hairs on my neck go, you know, straight up.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of it at all either. It's just,
no, and it's dark. It's at night. Yeah. This is around 11 o'clock, between 11 and 1 a.m., hon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just be really careful. And I don't mean to spook you, but you need to be warned. You need to be warned, bottom line.
Right.
Because I think that you have a grandmother that passed.
Yes, I do.
Is it your father's mother?
My father's mother has passed.
Okay, she's the one that I feel is giving me this information, by the way.
Huh, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that I feel is giving me the information. Who is the B connection to her, like A, B, C, B, 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 B?
I don't know. I'll think
about it. Okay. Yeah, think of the letter B, and there's some kind of connection with that. But in any event, Kim, thank you so much for calling.
And thank you so much, Becky and Rita, and have a blessed evening. And you did kind of confirm my own intuition about this, and now I think I can be safe, and I think I can keep my son safe now that I'm aware of it.
Yes. Thank you, sweetheart. Take care.
Thank you. Have a blessed evening.
You too, honey. Bye-bye. Well, before we wrap things up, we need to announce to the audience tonight that we're the Rita and Becky show. we're going on a little hiatus until further notice. Hopefully, it won't be as long as this summer, but this is going to be our last show for a little bit. We're both in the process of regrouping, redefining ourselves, and as we kind of grow and expand. We just have to shift a little bit on our priorities here. And so we're going to let this lie for a while, but we certainly will be back. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll send out our, you know, notices and stuff as to when we will be back. And in the meantime, Becky, what is your email address that they can reach you at?
It's readingsbybecky@gmail.com.
Okay, readingsbybecky@gmail.com. Now on mine, I changed my email, so you won't be able to, you know, click the email on the website of BBS and get me. So you can get me at ritamore13@yahoo.com. It's RITAMOORE and the number 13, because that's my birthday. ritamore13@yahoo.com. If you have any questions or anything like that. So I thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you for sharing a part of your lives with us. We certainly hope that we can help. And Becky, I love you. You're my light.
Aw, thank you. I love you too.
Yeah. And so soon we'll get back on the show and come back and who knows, we may have found new and exciting powers.
Yes.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'm like, excited. I always look forward to that.
Yeah, like the fly on the wall.
Yes.
But we're going to miss you guys. But like I said, take care of yourselves and just hang in there. And Becky, any parting words?
Just beware, well, not even beware, be aware of the awakenings that are happening and just kind of like take that time to step back and reevaluate where you're at, not what's affecting you, but where you're at.
Right. And what
everybody.
I love that. Another thing, too, is I'm starting a new program for psychic. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm starting a new program for psychic children. I'm going to be putting a packet and a brochure together. So if you're the parent, this is also for parents of psychic children, too. If you're interested, just readamore13@yahoo.com. Good night, everyone. Good night, Becky. We love you.
Good night. Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye, honey.